Exactly. This was this process of opening up the information and hoping that the public or other experts would somehow pile in and filter it and come up with nuggets of editorial gold. This very much pushed this idea of crowdsourcing to the limits. And I think most people would accept it didn't really work. There are two reasons for this. One is actually that although a lot of this material was unclassified, it wasn't necessarily top secret stuff. In itself, it gave you an overall picture and a narrative and an insight into the structures of power and the dynamics of power, but it didn't actually have a whole series of killer stories of a kind of Watergate momentum. And so, in a sense, I spoke to historians who found this material very valuable, but they weren't necessarily always front page headline material. So it was actually the journalists who were able to contextualize some of this stuff, contextualize it in its relevance perhaps to a previous story, or to contextualize it geographically, so that a story which may not have been particularly explosive in Washington may have had quite a serious impact in Delhi. And so we saw how this material represented a challenge to power, not as one explosive moment, but perhaps more as a process, both in terms of detail that it showed about the kind of deals that that diplomats make, or the ways that armies actually operate when they're in the field. So it's the detail of that, I think, rather than an overall indictment. And indeed, from an American point of view, whilst the Americans were the most offended by this material, I think that actually, in many ways, their diplomats certainly came out very well from the embassy cables.